Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God I will lay on your hearts today comes from the first chapter of the book of Romans, verses 1 through 7, as follows. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So far the Holy Word. Dear friends in Christ, fellow redeemed. Greetings. That's what the subject is here this morning. The greetings to the Romans and to us. By the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these words in chapter 1 of the book of Romans. It's the opening of the book. It's the greetings to all the saints, to you and to me and to every believer of all time. It's an exciting opening because when you read on the rest of the book of Romans, it is so rich with God's promises. Salvation by grace alone, through faith in Christ alone. Again and again, the theme of justification declared not guilty throughout the book of Romans. You can imagine Paul's excitement as he penned this greeting. We get excited to greet people, don't we? This time of the year when we see perhaps family that we don't always see, we look forward to those meetings, to those greetings. Coming to church here, greeting your fellow believers, knowing that we share in the fellowship of our great God, that causes a little excitement in our hearts as we are moved to say hello, good morning, how are you, how's things been, how's the Christmas preparations going, and to get into these conversations, to greet people, say hello. Here, what a blessing that we have the Apostle Paul's greetings on this fourth Sunday in Advent as we conclude the preparation of our hearts for the coming of Christ, his first coming at that first Christmas and our celebration of Christmas, and also to prepare our hearts for Christ's second coming, which will happen on that day when he comes and greets us for that final completion of his salvation to be made upon you and me and all believers. What a time. Meanwhile, here we are on this earth, and we are continuing to use God's word to remind them of the truths of Scripture, especially this time of the year when so many are talking about peace. We can speak of peace on earth, true peace, God's peace. That's why our theme is On Earth, Peace by the Grace of God. In these verses, we hear that God's grace sent the world a Savior. God's peace comes through that Savior. And being at peace with God, you and I can make peace among men. God's grace sent the world a Savior. Isn't it true? Grace, by definition. You maybe learned that in confirmation, or maybe you heard me say it before. Grace, undeserved love and kindness, with emphasis on the love and kindness of our great God. No, we as sinners didn't deserve it, but it was all God's love and mercy that, even in eternity, he came up with a plan to save you from your sin. It's all God's kindness, his grace and goodness, his abundant love that planned the sending of his only Son to pay the price that you and I could never begin to pay, the price of our sin. It's God's grace that sent the world a Savior. The Apostle Paul testifies to that in these opening verses to the Romans and to us. Just in saying hello, he wants us to know that God's grace sent the world a Savior. He says it's been promised through the Old Testament prophets. The text says, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. This means a whole lot to us because we pore over those Holy Scriptures. All of our last Advent services have pointed out the fact that the Old Testament prophets mention the coming Messiah. Not just mentioned, but that's the central thought. All of the Old Testament points to Jesus Christ. And Paul here underscores that. All the Old Testament prophets have benefited us because that's God's Word. That's worked in our hearts. It's still to this day the Old Testament pointing to the coming Messiah continues to build us up in our faith as we look forward to the fulfillment of that promise, which to us happened 2,000 years ago. But isn't it neat that even 1,600 years before it happened, it was promised and written down to everyone, us included. Paul says, this promised one, Jesus Christ, was descended from King David. That's an important point, because all those Old Testament prophets said that Jesus would come from Abraham's seed. And all the patriarchs of the Jews knew and were told all the way, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, King David, they were all told that in them and in their descendants, in their seed, all the world would be blessed. The promised Messiah would come from the Jewish nation. The Apostle Paul underscores that God promised that concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. From the human standpoint, God becoming human, he was born. True God became true man as God promised from the seed of David. And he did so out of the pure love and kindness of our God to fulfill his promises for us. He was proven to be God, which is also important. Jesus had to be true man in order to experience all the things we experience, to live a life of temptation by the devil in the world, but to never sin. Jesus had to be true man, to place himself under the law. That's why the Lord, out of grace, had him born according to the flesh. But he was testified to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness. How? By the resurrection from the dead. That proved that he was who he said he was, the true Son of God. That proved to us that God's grace, his undeserved love and kindness, sending his own Son, who is God, the power of God was needed so that your sins and mine could be paid in full. God's power, God had to die the death of the cross so that he could endure the agonies that our sins deserved. And it was all proven to be true when God raised Jesus from the dead. His seal of approval on the sacrifice he made was confirmed and stands for all time and fits in the plan as the solution of God's grace to us, the solution for our sin. God's grace. Sometimes I'll write that word out on a chalkboard vertically, G-R-A-C-E, and I'll write, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's really what grace is. And it keeps on pouring out upon us. God's riches at Christ's expense. This brings peace here on this earth right now. It's a peace that's testified in the heart of every believer, in yours and mine. It's a peace that we own by faith, of knowing our sins are gone, and nothing now stands between us and the Almighty. On earth, peace by the grace of God. And God's peace comes through that Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul was called, it says, to proclaim this peace. He says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. He was especially sent to the Gentiles. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. To the non-Jews, although Jesus was promised by all the Old Testament prophets to be born of the Jews, yet he came not just for them, but for all the world, for us included, for us non-Jews. And Paul was sent to the non-Jews primarily in the outlying regions. He was used by the Lord to begin all these New Testament churches so that they could sit there just like we are and hear the proclamation of God's grace and celebrate the same things we do, the birth of their Savior, the wonderful grace that God has shown them through Jesus Christ. We continue in that New Testament church today. God's peace comes through that Savior, and by faith we know of that peace. By faith you are called to peace through the gospel. Verse 6 tells us, you also are the called of Jesus Christ. You may not be an apostle, you're not. Neither am I. There were 13 apostles in the New Testament church. But that doesn't mean any less that God loved you or has a purpose for you. It says right here, you also are the called of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has done a great and mighty work in your heart by calling you out of darkness and putting you into the path of faith. A faith that believes in the grace of your God. A faith that grasps the truths that Jesus truly did come to Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago. That these things really happened. That the resurrection of Christ from the dead actually did pay the price of my sins. And that one day too, we will rise from the dead. Or Jesus will come in great power and glory on the last day while we're still alive even. And take us to be with himself forever in heaven. We've been set apart, called by God's Holy Spirit through the Word to believe these truths. It's a great comfort to us as we are assailed by the doubts and the temptations that surround us in this world, because they are there. When you read this, you might think, well, Paul was an apostle. He knew these things. How can I be sure? You can be sure, because your faith believes that God did it all. He called you to faith in Christ Jesus. That's his grace, isn't it? That's the grace that is sufficient for us unto salvation. Even when we go through problems in life and we have trials that cause us to doubt, we ask God to strengthen our heart through his word, and he does. Paul had doubts. Paul had problems. Paul had something physically wrong with him. He called it his thorn in the flesh. But he prayed to God and asked him to take it away 3 times. What was God's answer to him? My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God's grace is sufficient. Paul had problems, but God said to him, endure this. My strength is made perfect in weakness. He would use Paul's weakness, whatever problem Paul was experiencing, some sort of physical illness or we don't know exactly what it was. But you know exactly what your weaknesses are in your life and the things that are going wrong and your physical ailments. You know exactly what makes your heart cry out to the Lord. Don't stop. Keep asking him. But remember that the Lord's grace is, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. It's not when we are mighty and strong and for the Lord and to get things done for him. It's when we rely on his word and when his word accomplishes what he pleases through us, his instruments. God's grace is sufficient for us as well. No matter the sins of our youth, no matter our many offenses, God's grace works that peace in us. And the grace of God, being at peace with God, we are able then to make peace among men. Peace in our land, among the nations. You know, I've always said that believers make the best citizens in whatever country they're in. And they do, because they are ruled by not just good morals, but they are ruled by God's grace. The rule, the law of God is love. His love for us. His undeserved kindness and mercy in sending his Son is what we celebrate this season. And that gospel message works in our hearts. It builds up our faith. It strengthens us to address things like being good citizens, making sure that we follow our country's rules, our laws. We condone peace in the world instead of making war. Ours is not a religion of, you know, either believe or die. Believe or get out of the way. That's not it at all. And that makes for true peace on earth. The kind of peace that means laying down arms and weapons and trying to find other solutions. We try that route first as a nation. And good Christians make that claim, or make that effort, don't they? Good Christians. Any Christian makes that effort. But of course, the real peace that motivates us to keep earthly peace is the peace that Christ gives of sins forgiven. It's the peace of knowing nothing stands between us and God. That's the peace that comes to all who are in Rome, to us, to you and to me, the beloved of God, called to be saints. That's the peace from God, our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, the peace of sins forgiven. With God's peace in our hearts, we can pursue peace on earth among men. We can have peace in our homes, in our churches. We can speak a kind word instead of a mean word. To speak, or to not speak at all sometimes, when we want to say something that comes from a wrong part of our heart to someone else. Peace with God through Christ. That's what we have. That's what we have that moves us to be kind and gentle-hearted toward one another, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven us. On earth, peace by the grace of God. God's grace sent the world a Savior. God's peace comes through that Savior. And being at peace with God, we make peace among men. But the greatest thing is to be able to tell people, to sing out the message, to do like the shepherds did, rejoicing, telling everyone, proclaiming the great things and the glory that God has shown us through His Word. That's the only thing that's going to make genuine peace and make a genuine difference in the hearts and lives of all our loved ones and of all those we come into contact with, not only this Christmas season, but always. Amen.